The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Does believing for eternal salvation include or require believing in the deity of Christ? Are there any attributes of Jesus that need to be believed for this? Hello, this is Grace in Focus, and welcome. We're glad you're with us today. Grace in Focus is the radio broadcast and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. Find out more about the Grace Evangelical Society by going to our website, faithalone.org. On that website, you can find out about our regional conferences. We have a couple that are coming up soon, one in Dallas-Fort Worth and one in Bismarck, North Dakota. We'd love to see you or one of your friends at one of these conferences. For more information, faithalone.org. Now with the final episode in our The Gospel is Still Under Siege series, here are Bob Wilkin and Mike Lee.
Hi, Bob. We're going to be dealing with an appendix from your book, The Gospel Still Under Siege, and this will be our final episode on your book.
Okay.
And your appendix, actually, I thought was worthy of a chapter itself, but it deals with a really hot-button question, which is, must we believe in the deity of Christ to be saved? Must we believe that Jesus is God? And I think one common argument that I hear from people say, like, you must believe and understand his deity, they go, look, he's called the Son of God. So, you know, doesn't that tell you right there you have to believe that Jesus is God, Jesus is deity to be
saved? You know, it's so prevalent. I can't tell you how many people would say part of what you must believe to be born again is that Jesus is God. And what they mean by that is not real clear. In most cases, what they mean is the person has to say they believe Jesus is God, or they have to say that they believe Jesus is the Son of God. But they don't really put content behind that. In other words, does the person have to believe that Jesus is eternal?
Yeah.
Most people would not tell the unbeliever that Jesus is eternal, but that is part of him being God, because one of the attributes of deity is eternality.
Right.
Do you need to tell people that Jesus is immutable? That's one of the attributes of God. Most people would say, no, you don't need to tell them that. They don't need to believe that. Do they need to believe that Jesus was impeccable? That is, not only that Jesus did not sin, but Jesus could not sin. Most people would not say, no, they don't have to believe that Jesus couldn't sin in order to be saved. And you could go through all the attributes of deity, and most people would say, no, you don't need to believe that. You don't need to get into the union between humanity and deity. It's called the hypostatic union. And you don't need to get into these things. Basically, all they're asking people to do is to say, I believe Jesus is the Son of God, or I believe Jesus is God. But that's a mistake, because you have people in the Gospels, especially in the Gospel of John, who believe in Jesus and were told they believe in Jesus, yet they do not yet believe that he's God. It's not until John 20:28 after his resurrection that Thomas says, my Lord and my God. There's no reference to the deity of Christ in the Gospel of John by those who believe in him in the earlier chapters. And in fact, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, it's clear that they do not believe yet that Jesus is God. When he stills the storm, they say, who is this that even the wind and the rain obey him? They don't know that Jesus is God in the flesh. Now, they do believe he's the Son of God, and they do believe he's the Son of Man, but Son of God is not a title of deity in the Gospels. It's a messianic title. For example, in John 1:49-50, Nathanael says, you are the Son of God, the King of Israel. Son of God, King of Israel, those are in apposition to each other. Son of God equals King of Israel, because David was promised that his son would be God's son, that all of the kings of Judah would be the sons of God. In fact, the royal enthronement psalms would say, you are my son, today I have begotten thee. And that will not only be said of Jesus when he's coronated in the millennium, but it was said of every Judean king.
So biblically, it's just a title. It wasn't necessarily saying this is a designation that everyone who has this title, Son of God, is deity or God himself.
Right. Now, Jesus is the Son of God. Yeah. The other kings of Judah would have been a Son of God or sons of God. And of course, the book of Revelation does talk about believers being sons of God. But the Son of God is Jesus, but it's a messianic title, and it means he's the king. Same thing, the Son of Man's a messianic title from Daniel chapter 7. The Son of Man comes up to the Ancient of Days, and he receives the kingdom. And so Son of God is not a statement of deity. Son of God is a statement of royalty. It's a statement that he is the ruler. Now, there are times when Jesus uses that expression, Son of God, and it does seem to equate with deity, like in John chapter 10, he says, I and the Father are one, and they take up stones to stone him. Mm-hmm. But even there, I think you could be arguing that what Jesus is saying is that he and the Father are equal in purpose, they're equal in stature, they're united in what they're doing. Yes, you could infer from that that he's the second member of the Trinity. But if you want to find something Trinitarian, you would go to, for example, John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
How would you answer in John 11 when Martha responds, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God? What's the Son of God mean there?
I would argue it means that you are the Messiah. The Christ is the Greek word Christos, which is equivalent to the Hebrew word Mashiach or Messiah. And the Son of God is appositional there. You are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. That's not two things. That's one thing. Same thing with Nathanael. You are the Son of God, the King of Israel. Son mm-hmm. of God equals King of Israel. Messiah equals Son of God. Mm-hmm. And so what Martha is saying is that he's the long-promised Messiah.
We will rejoin in just a moment. But years ago, Zane Hodges wrote The Gospel Under Siege. Sadly, this is still true, and GES President Bob Wilkin has recently written its sequel. Bob's new book, The Gospel is Still Under Siege, is a book about theological clarity on the biblical teaching about eternal salvation. It is available now. Secure yours today at the Grace Evangelical Society's bookstore. Find it at faithalone.org/store. That's faithalone.org/store. Now back to today's content.
If you've ever seen Fiddler on the Roof, Tevye is always saying, oh, the Messiah might come, oh, the Messiah might come. Martha's saying, Messiah has come. That's a big deal. Mm-hmm. And so when she says, you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world, she's saying, that's how I know I'm eternally secure, because mm-hmm. that's who you are and that's what you promised.
So the Son of God, again, ties back to what Jesus has just promised in verses 25 and 26
yes,
there.
Yes, right. So, that's what she's saying. And you get the same thing in John 20:31, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and by believing you may have life in his name. It's not saying that Jesus is the Messiah deity. It's he's the Messiah, the Son of God, which Son of God would be, you could say, Messiah King mm-hmm. or even Messiah Messiah, in the sense that these are basically two ways of saying the same thing.
So as in Jesus is the Son of God who gives everlasting life to whoever believes in him for it?
Right. John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Son there doesn't mean that Jesus was literally born of the Father. I've met people before, and I bet you have too, that when they came to faith, they thought Jesus is the Son of God. That meant literally when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, the Father had relations with Mary, and Jesus was the byproduct.
That's
when his eternity started.
Right.
He didn't exist before then, and he was the product of the union of God and Mary.
Yeah.
Well, that's heresy, of course.
Right.
But there's lots of people that they don't know better, and people don't say, well, you need to believe that. So I think a lot of people say you need to believe in the deity of Christ to be saved. They've not really thought things through. Now, if you argued, and I think we have an article at our website by John Niemela that argues a mere man could not fulfill the promise that he who believes in me has everlasting life.
Right.
You have to believe Jesus is more than a mere man in order to believe that promise.
Right.
And logically, you have to believe he's God in the flesh mm-hmm. in order to fulfill that promise, although not everybody's logical, right?
Yeah.
So some people say, okay, he actually fulfills that.
Yeah.
So he actually fulfills this, and they may not get all the details. But people don't have to be theologians in order to be born again. And in fact, one of the things Ken Yates, I think, talked about this issue before. And we've said that, you know, when people went to Dallas Seminary, almost none of us could have passed an exam on Christology before we took the class.
Yeah, this kind of makes sense. And you can't believe something you don't understand, right? And to really understand Jesus' deity could fill up a whole class for a term, right? And you, how can you believe something that you don't understand? So that this creates a lot of practical problems when you tell people you have to believe Jesus is God, Jesus is deity. Well, if you don't understand what deity means or what God means, how can they believe it?
And by the way, this is a good point. I'm going to be teaching a class with Drs. Ken Yates and Dr. Tony Badger, and we're going to be handling theology proper, pneumatology, Christology. I think Tony's doing theology proper, Ken's doing pneumatology, and I'm doing Christology. So if you want to take the class, you can email us at classes@faithalone.org.
Or go to gsseminary.org.
Or gsseminary.org. And you can look at it. I'll be teaching 4 weeks out of the 12 weeks, and I'll be talking about Christology, and I'll be talking about the person of Christ, the work of Christ, and issues in Christology. And there are a lot of issues in Christology. There are a lot of heresies and things. You don't need to understand all that. What you need to understand is that Jesus is telling the truth when he says, "He who believes in me has everlasting life." A child may not grasp all the intricacies of what it means to be the Son of God, or what it means to be God in the flesh, or what it means that he's eternal, all those things. An adult may not grasp all those things. In fact, I remember I heard an ETS speaker, Evangelical Theological Society, and it was a theologian talking about the union, the hypostatic union between Christ's deity and humanity. And he said, "We really don't understand this."
Yeah.
All we know is what the Bible tells us, and we make inferences from that. But he said, we don't grasp this fully. All we can know is what God reveals to us, because things that are beyond the physical, the metaphysical, are things which only we can understand if God tells us and reveals it. And God hasn't revealed everything about the deity of Christ to us.
But God has revealed what is the saving message, right?
Absolutely, clearly, it's simply believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you have eternal life. And there's no works attached. It's not a matter of understanding everything about the person and work of Jesus. You have to understand enough of the person and work of Jesus to believe the promise of everlasting life. But that's not necessarily the same for everybody. Some people may be convinced with less information, some with more. But the only way to be saved is by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ for what he promises, which is everlasting life. And once we do, then we know we have that life, and as long as we continue to believe, we retain our assurance.
Yeah, very good. And that's what your whole book has been about.
The gospel is still under siege is basically defending the fact that even though this simple message of faith alone apart from works is under attack, it's the message that goes from Genesis to Revelation, and it's truly good news.
And remember, you can get this book at faithalone.org, The Gospel Still Under Siege by Bob Wilkin. Keep grace in focus.
We invite you to check out our Monday, Wednesday, and Friday 5-minute YouTube videos at YouTube Grace Evangelical Society. You will love the content and learn a lot. There are a lot of costs involved in staying on the air. That's why we so much appreciate our financial partners. If you'd like to learn how to become one, you can find out more by going to faithalone.org. On our next episode, we go back to our question and answer format, another question about what is required to be saved. Please join us, and until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.